Thank you, Lord. So we're kind of ramping back up into the fall. We were talking about faith and healing, just different, not like all at once, but you know, you receive healing by faith, and so they're all related. But you know, as we went through last year, we'd talk about faith, and we would spend some time on healing. We talk about healing when we're talking about faith, and just kind of focusing on those two areas. And so we've been reviewing, and we talked about what faith is, how faith comes. And last year we were talking about faith is of the heart. We're going to pick up there. Faith is of the heart. And we went through a lot of scripture just talking about who we really are, that we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We're going to pick up there, just read a couple scriptures and really focus on the part of using our faith. That it's of the heart and what that means. So let's just read a couple scriptures before we go on. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's go there. Actually, on your way there, go to Romans 10. We'll start there, Romans 10. And then you can find 1 Thessalonians. We'll go there as well. I'm so glad I know Jesus. He is so good. It's so good just to walk with Him and know Him. Don't ever get tired of His Word. His Word is so good, so rich. You can read the same scripture over and over. Come back to it years later and read it, and you still get more out of it. You can get something out of every word. Somebody said, one of my teachers at Rhema said, you can get healed in the begats, you know. Such and such begat such and such and begat such. He said that all the word is anointed. You can be reading that. You know, they don't say that in the New King James or anything, but the old King, the King James. Every part of the word is anointed because it's all God's word. It's all the word of God. You know, some people today, they just basically slice and dice the Word of God to where, well, it contains the Word of God, but there's a lot of error in here and all that. Well, if there's error in here, we've all missed it. And really, a lot of these things you see, that different things that are being put forth today, really the end game is to undermine the Word. It's to undermine the Word of God. Because if you can attack this book and say it's faulty, then why believe anything in it? Why, if it's faulty, it's just a bunch of stories and so on and so forth. And that's where, this is how we have faith, is based on the Word. So if we can't trust the Word, you can't, how can you go in a life and death situation and stand on and say, no, thus saith the Lord, if you think this is a bunch of stories? What a lot of people would have you believe is it's just men writing this. So you're saying, thus saith some guy that lived, you know, 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, if it's in the Old Testament or whatever. If that's all it is, we're just fools. You can't stand in the midst of life storms and say, thus says some book I read. And it doesn't hold any water to say I read some book. It doesn't matter if it's by a preacher or such and such of a man said this. You have to go back to God and know that He said it. And I know we hear this over and over. If you listen to respected men and women of faith, they'll tell you this, but sometimes we're slow to hear this. We go, yeah, 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 but you said it and I understand what you mean. And really, when we go to battle, we're quoting them. We're not quoting God. We're quoting what we heard preached, and we're saying, well, this will work because such and such did it and it'll work. It won't work. I'm not saying you can't get you, because the enemy will push you past that point. You have to know God said it to where you're saying, no, God Almighty said this. This is the way it is. He's on my side, and He's got my back. And yes, I know such and such preached it, and I thank God for them, but He's just saying what God already said, and I believe God. Amen? That's where the battles are won, when we know God is standing beside us and behind us. Romans 10, 8, we just keep going back to this, but this is a foundation, and we'll refer to it again. Romans 10, verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you believe in your heart. You don't believe in your head. You don't believe in your big toe. You don't believe with your senses. You believe in your heart. And that's how we get born again. That's why people, when you try to convince them, see, some people try to debate people into the kingdom of God. You can't do it. Because what are you dealing with? You're dealing with their head. And you can't understand spiritual things with your head. No, they're spiritually discerned. And this is why people will, I just can't understand it. I just can't understand it. I just can't understand it. And you can talk to, well, yeah, but this. And then people try to get all these lines of debate and try to prove it to them. You can't prove there's a God. It's got to be taken by faith. I mean, there are many indications there's a God. But there's no proof. In other words, nobody can prove there's a God. Nobody can prove there isn't. And a skeptic can explain away all your proofs. It doesn't matter. In the account of Lazarus and the rich man, it was said, the rich man had died, and he said, send somebody back to my family and tell them. They'll believe then. And he said, no, though one rise from the dead and told them, they would still not believe. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus did raise from the dead. He told people. People have told other people. People have told us. We've read it in the Word. You know what? You can have the greatest miracle right in front of your face and still be in complete unbelief. The Pharisees did it over and over. They saw people healed, and they just got mad. They just got more mad. And they tried to kill Jesus. No, but don't fall into this thing that, well, if they could just see, and no, it's by faith. Everybody has to come by to Jesus, to the faith in him, or to come to the relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus. There is no other way. So it's not going to come through your head. It's not going to come, if they could just get to the service and just feel and see. It doesn't matter if the power of God is all over them and they're feeling something. If they don't believe, they still won't be born again, and they still won't receive from God. So faith is not in your head. Now, we're getting somewhere. Hold on. Faith is not in your head. It's not in the way you feel. It's of your heart. With the heart, one believes. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's with the heart. It's with our heart that we're believing him. So go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We read this last week. I'm just going to read a few scriptures. Says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says right there, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now don't let this be too simple for you tonight. Even if you've heard teaching on spirit, soul, and body, don't shut up, don't shut down, pull. There's a lot here. Spirit, soul, and body. Yes, we are a spirit. The Bible talks about just the spirits of just men made perfect in Hebrews that we read last week, Hebrews 12:23. But we are spirits. You have a soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. You live in a body. So your body is what we see, and it's going to go back to the grave. It's going to go back to dust, and we're going to get a new body, thank God. And your mind, will, and emotions, that's who you, your personality and so forth, that's going with you. But you are a spirit being. You are a spirit. We are spirits in here. We are sitting here. You really, inside, we are spirits all in here. There is a spiritual realm. Oh, there's so much. There's so much here. I saw this, they call them TED Talks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's technology, entertainment and design or something. E might stand for something else. But anyway, there's a website and it's this organization and they bring in different people to talk on different subjects. And I think it has to be like less than 18 minutes or whatever. Anyway, I saw this thing. This guy was presenting and they were taught, it was, I have to recreate this in my mind. It's been a while since I looked at it. But it was basically like very, very high-speed camera, only it wasn't really a camera because of what they were actually doing. What they did is they shot like just a particle of light into this area, and they captured all the images from that, I don't know, it was a photon or whatever. And they would capture it as it bounced around everywhere. And I think they did this from many different angles and whatever. And what you had basically is you could see around corners and you could see everything because where this thing went and the way it went around corners and all that, you could see everywhere. It was like, but you couldn't do this real time. It wasn't like they could just use it. It's like they had to do all this massive computing power to be able to do this. The thing is, when they were showing it and showing these particles of light come and bounce around, it was like complete darkness, and then you would see the image, that thing come around and start illuminating the different surfaces. And what you could see was that there was no vision without light. And we know this. Well, all you're seeing is reflection of light bouncing off something. But the way it was so apparent to me when I was watching that we can't see the spiritual realm, but that doesn't mean there's nothing there. If it doesn't reflect light back on your eyes, you can't see it. And it was really, it's hard to explain. A picture is worth 1,000 words if you could see what I saw. But they would have like this room set up or this situation with different things there, and it was completely, you couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, you'd see this illumination with this particle of light coming around, and now you could barely see the different images. And you would see how the light would like bounce into the images and, you know, come out. And it was just such a neat interaction. But what it really made me see is that there can be a spirit being standing right behind you and you cannot see it because the light is bouncing around, but they don't reflect light. It became so obvious that there's this whole other realm that physics can't detect because it's not obeying this realm's physics. But it's here. Right now there's angels in this room. There are. And they can hear us talking. And they are reacting to the word of God that we speak. When you speak the word of God and agree with God, they're in action. And right now, I don't know what they're doing, but I know they're agreeing with the word and saying, yeah, that's right. But we can't see them. There are demons around. I don't know if there are any in this room or not. But there are demons, when you walk into a mall or something, they're all over the place. But we can't see them, because that's a whole different realm. But it's more real than this. And so when we're sitting here, what we tend to do is get so caught up in what we can see and feel and what's going on in our mind and what happened at work and whatever. This becomes more real, and right around us is this whole spiritual realm, including ourselves. Because you know when your spirit's gone, you're done. The spirit gives life and quickens. When your spirit's gone, your body is dead. Or if the body, you know, quits working, the spirit goes. Now, we don't stay around here. We're not going to go into that. That's not true. But humans can't operate in this realm without a body. But the thing I want to get over is that we are a spirit and we're walking in this realm in the spirit. Our heart is how we believe God. It is a substance. We are believing Him. So we're reeling in and making come to pass what we're believing for. But it's coming from our heart, not our flesh and not our mind. You can't, in other words, you can't understand it and think real hard and make something from the spiritual realm happen. That's not how it works. It's not mind over matter. You're believing with your heart. Thank you, Lord. Let's go quickly to Romans 12. We didn't read this one last week, but we'll read it quick. Romans, I said 12, so you may have lost your place, but you were right there in Romans 10. Thank you, Lord. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That you present your bodies. You, the real us, present our bodies. The spirit man, you do something with your body, which is present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're supposed to present our bodies, and we're supposed to do something with our mind. What is that we're supposed to do with our mind? Get it renewed. Get it renewed to what? To the Word of God. So that we line up our mind with how He thinks. So you take your body, and you say, body, you're going to do what God needs you to do. You're going to go where God needs you to go. You are in the service of God. That's what you do with your body. And then your mind, you renew it so that it thinks thoughts according to the Word of God. The more we get it renewed to the Word of God, the more if your thinking is straight, it'll help your believing. Because if you dwell on the wrong things, day in and day out, and you have these thoughts running through your head, you could get faith by reading the Word, hearing the Word preached. Right now, your faith is rising because you're hearing the Word preached. Your spirit man is getting built up. Your spirit man is being fed right now. However, faith is coming right now. Faith is coming. We've been talking about the spiritual realm and about spirit, soul, body. The anointing is here. Your spirit man is getting fed and built up right now, but you walk out of here and you spend the next 72 hours dwelling on stuff that is not on the Word of God, your spirit man can't get through. Your mind is just thinking on these wrong things. So the more we renew it, our mind with the Word of God, the more it's in line and we think on what God wants us to think on, then it's easier to believe. You're not believing with your head. But if you dwell on things, this is why it is so important. We were talking before about certain movies before the service. It is of utmost importance what we put in our eyes and our ears. This is not a joke at all. Because how many of you know something you saw when you were 5 or 6 or you heard and it's still there? And under certain circumstances, it can come back. And this is how people see something that scared them. and it's still with them. Fear. They get in a certain situation, and they've seen something on TV where there was a situation and somebody's going to come around the corner and get them. You know, get in the bathroom. You know, bathtub, and somebody's going to get them. You know, there's horror movies like that. And what do they get in certain situations? What flashes back into their mind is that image of something bad happening. What does that produce? It produces fear. What's fear? It's a gateway to letting the enemy move. This is why it is so important what we... It's not just, well, I'm just going to kill time, so I'm just going to look at whatever on my phone. We better watch what we're looking at on our phone. You'd be much better off if you have some time to look at something that would edify you, to listen to something that would edify you or look at some scripture or whatever. Your flesh doesn't want to do that. It wants to just, you know, well, this it's just kind of like spiritual candy or something. You know, I just want to look at, this feels good. Just like, I just want to go get something for the refrigerator and, you know, get some chocolate or whatever. Not that chocolate's bad. I love chocolate. But you can't eat chocolate nonstop, right? Because then you'll catch up with you. You know, you have to eat good stuff. Well, what we do with our bodies, just like, you know, you present your body as a living sacrifice, your body, if you let it go, it'll do whatever. But no, we're supposed to take it. We're supposed to tell it what to do. We're supposed to renew our mind. And as we do that, we're able then to believe God, because we're not roaring, because, and we're going to get into this, your body will talk to you. Your mind will talk to you. And when you're endeavoring to believe God, this is why we need to know we are not believing God with our mind. And we are not believing God with our body, because then when your body tells you something, says, I don't feel good today. If you know that your spirit is how you believe God, if your body feels bad at a certain point, you say, I don't care. That doesn't matter. I can still be in faith, because so what if my body doesn't feel good today? So what if my body changes? What if my body starts showing symptoms? But my heart is still the same. If I understand that it's not with my body that I'm believing God, I'm believing God with my heart. So if I'm believing Him and my body changes, I say it doesn't matter, I'm still believing God. What if my mind starts having doubts? Doesn't matter. I'm believing God with my heart. And if I know that the inward man, if it just stays centered up on God, it doesn't matter. I can push the thoughts away. And this is exactly what we have to do. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Before you go to 2 Corinthians 10:4, go over to Mark. I think we'll go there first. Go to Mark 11. We'll do that. We'll do it that way. Mark 11, verse 22. And then we'll go over to 2 Corinthians, I think. Maybe not. So Mark 11, verse 22, says, So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now you could say, Be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes. You could say, in his heart. We read over in Romans, it's with the heart man believes. You believe with your heart to salvation. That's how you receive from God. It doesn't all of a sudden just change to you believing in your head. Okay, when the Bible talks about believing, you're believing with your heart. So be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things... He says, we can say, believe in his heart that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now notice, be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart. Did it say anything about your head? No. Faith will work with, if you have faith in your heart, will work with doubts in your head. I'll say that again. Faith will work. If you have faith in your heart and you're believing God with your heart, it will work with doubts in your head. Somebody can get born again, not understand everything about Jesus, say, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, but they just jump and say, but I believe. But I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I don't care that my mind can't catch up with it, I'm going forward. And they can be born again. And it's the same thing when we're believing God and endeavoring to believe Him, you can have doubts hit your mind. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? And it, you know, you don't think Noah had something hit his head when he was told to build an ark and what? And Abraham, when he was told he's going to have a son, you don't think he had me and my wife? My wife's never been able to conceive. There were some things, but the Bible says in Romans 4 that he didn't consider his body. He just, okay, I can't look at that. I just have to believe what God said. Well, it's the same thing with you and me. When we're believing Him, if we can know, now put what we've talked about together, if we can know that I'm a spirit here, I have this mind, will and emotions, and I have this body, but when I'm believing Him, I'm believing with my heart. That's the part that is built up with the Word of God. That's how I'm releasing my faith. So if my head has some doubts, I can say, see, some people will say, oh no, I'm doubting God. I know I have to get back into faith. If you can separate your head and realize your head might be hit with stuff, then you can separate that and say, no, I still believe God. And if your body, some people say, well, I just don't feel like God's real today. I don't feel good today. What does that have to do with it? If you understand I'm believing with my heart hasn't changed. Unless I let those doubts get down in there. And let, see, he said, does not doubt where? In his heart. Be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart. He didn't say anything about your head. And he didn't say anything that you didn't feel good when you got out of bed. You can have symptoms in your body and it look like you're getting a cold. And now if you say, well, it just looks like it, I guess I have it, and you drop it, you can be sick. But I've seen it time and time again where, I mean, it was just several weeks back. I was at work, and it felt like I'm feeling like I'm getting sick. I mean, in the natural, I could feel it. I mean, my nose was starting to run. I was starting to feel just not good. And I told that thing to go. And said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then just went on about my way. And just you just believe it. You act on it and say no. And the devil tried to tell you, it's too late. You're sick. You're going to get sick. And try to put images in your head of you being sick. And it's just going to get, and you're going to have this for so many days. And that's the way it's going to be. And those are just images. And if you say, no, I said, go. You don't have to have a long conversation. Just go back to that and say, no, I told it to go and go about with my work. I came to about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, realized that's gone. And I mean, I've been around long enough. You can tell when something's trying to creep up on you. I'm not talking about you just tired or something. I mean, my nose is starting to run. I just kind of getting that feeling. No, we don't have, but I'm telling you, the devil will try to, he's trying to put something in your head to where you feel and see. He wants you to feel and see and think and then say, too late. But if we realize, no, I've already said something with my heart. I've come and I've let it come out of my mouth and then gone on. And it doesn't matter if my body changed, if my body got worse. It doesn't matter if my head's, you know, trying to wrap around. It doesn't matter if I stay on the fact that, no, God said this, I believe it, that's heart faith, that's Bible faith. Just stay right there. And if you don't change and don't move, Satan has no choice. What does it say? For assuredly, this is Jesus saying to who? He says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever. That would include us. We qualify. Nobody can use any, well, he's talking to his disciples or any of this stuff that they try to weasel way out to disqualify us. He said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now this is Jesus. This is not Brother Hagin. This is not Kenneth Copeland. They did not write this. They get attributed this, well, they're just the Haginites, Copelandites, blab. This is the Bible. And Jesus said, whoever. I honestly don't understand, and there's a lot of other scriptures that back this up, and we've gone over it. I mean, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you would say, you know, believe in your heart and say with your mouth, that's how you get born again. I honestly don't understand. People get stuff twisted, but how you remove this. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, or anything else in our life, you leave. You be gone and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes that those things he says, and we'll get to that, this is very important, will be done. He what? He will have whatever he says. Period. Jesus said that. He said, if you believe with your heart and you tell it to go, you don't doubt, it'll go. Period. Either he said that, or he did not. Then he said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Thank God. I have this in the New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Amplified Bible says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Jesus said it. So if we believe with our heart and we don't doubt in our heart, we'll have. So if something comes against our head, does that matter? Does that disqualify us? No, because we'll all have thoughts come against our head. You will be tempted to doubt. But the Bible says God won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You may be pressured to give in and start speaking down unbelief and just want to say, I don't understand why this is not happening. I don't understand. But if you don't do it, you can be pressured, but you don't have to yield. I'm not talking about willpower. I'm talking about relying on God's grace and saying, no, God said it, and I believe it, and that's it. And you can be getting pushed and have all these thoughts, but if you'll say no. And this is where the good fight of faith comes in. You are not fighting to make something happen. You are fighting to stay in faith and stay on God's side because he's already done it. There's a huge difference. God has already paid for it through Jesus. We are not talking about making God doing something. Nothing like that. God has already paid for it. He's already said, it's yours. Now what you need to do is believe it. And if we believe it, enemy will fight you every inch of the way to try to get you to drop it. Because if you say, I have it, he knows that Jesus said, if you don't quit, if you believe me, you'll have it. And so what's he going to try to get you to do? Drop it. He wants you to quit believing. He wants you to let doubt in. He wants you to back off what you said and say, oh, I didn't really mean that. I don't see. What he wants you to do is give in to what you're seeing in this realm. Now, we're going on the same path that we started with, but put it together. If I'm a spirit being and I'm believing God and I feel something or I see something or I think something in this realm, if we can just separate that and say, but God's word is still true, none of that matters. This is faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by what God said. And just because my body changed, didn't change the Word of God. This still reads the same. Just because I had a thought, this still reads the same. And if we'll just stay there and say, I don't care how bad I feel. I don't care if it looks worse. I don't care that I don't know, my head doesn't know. I said, I believe God, and that's the way it'll be. And we stay and don't change and believe it in our heart. Just stay there and say, no, I believe Him. Then we have to have what He said. This is the good fight of faith. Now, go over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. These are the weapons Paul's talking to people saying, the words we speak will combat all this nonsense that you've been taught and will bring you to the truth. But this exact same thing, this is what we go through. This is why it's so important to renew our mind, because we will have thoughts that come against what God has said. If we've read what God has said and seen, for instance, we saw in Mark 11, 23, that if we'll believe Him, it will say to the mountain, to go, it's got to go. You can have thoughts that tell you the opposite. Thoughts that tell you it's not working. Thoughts that tell you God didn't really do that. God's not on your side. Why isn't your faith working? You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith like so-and-so. And you've messed up, by the way. And what did you just say to that person? You don't qualify. And He'll tell you all these things. Those things are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And the more we know the Word, we can combat them. That's why your faith has to be on the Word. At this point, you know, saying so-and-so said, so-and-so preacher said, so, it doesn't cut it. It's the Word that says, no, the Word says this, therefore I still believe. Therefore I believe. And this is what we go through, is that those thoughts come in and we need to cast them down and say, liar. When those thoughts come, devil, you're a liar and the father of it. Shut up. I still believe God. And if we have to do that 100 times, that's called the good fight of faith. You just stay right there. Because what's He trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to get off. To try to give up your faith. To try to get you to doubt. Put pressure on your flesh. Put pressure on your mind. To where you'll say, I just don't see it, and then back off. But He can't do anything. Don't ever make the devil big. Things naturally can come against you. Thoughts can come against you. But don't make Him big, like, well, the devil is just so much on my case, I can't do it. No, you say, no, that's not true. I exalt God. God is bigger, and just exalt Him in your mind and stay right there. No, God, this is nothing for Him. No, God's Word is true. And the more we'll stay right there, that's called believing with your heart. That's called being in faith. Believing Him. Staying right there. Until we see the manifestation, the answer to our faith. When we say manifestation, we believe, we receive. When we say, when we pray, all we're saying is that's just appearing in this realm. Don't get off saying, well, I'm just waiting for this. No, we believe, we receive, I have it. I have it. Can't see it, but I have it. Don't get off waiting. No, I have it now. Nope, I'm going to see it. Shut up. No, I'm going to see it. No, it doesn't look like you have it. No, I'm going to see it. No, I have it. To stay right there. Amen? That's believing with our heart. Hallelujah.